you know, it goes in and out, goes in and out, goes in and out. Today is with that, and tomorrow with that other man, and with that other girl. And you keep undermining that trust. You go ahead and marry, and I'm not saying that your marriage will not work. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it will not work. But you would have trust issues. You will have trust issues. It is better to build trust with the person you want to marry, because in marriage there will come pressure. What if you work in the office and the office sends you on a trip with a colleague? You're going somewhere else with your colleague for a seminar, for a workshop. And you're going to be on the same plane or the same bus. You're going to stay in the same hotel. How can your husband be sure that you will be firm? You have to build into your trust bank. And what you do to build into your trust bank is that you should have proven ahead of time that under extreme pressure, you can stand. Because if you haven't made that investment, then when you go, the phone calls will be coming every 30 seconds. Where are you? Hey, honey, where are you? Everything okay? Honey, how are you? Everything okay? Honey, how are you? Everything okay? What are you doing now? What is that voice I'm hearing? Who is the voice? Who is that voice? So the whole relationship becomes suspicious because the chair breaks. The chair breaks. It's important that we build into the trust investment and make investments of trust in each other. Now, usually, when trust is lost, it takes a long time to restore it. And when it has been restored, there will always be reminders. Don't take it negatively. God is a redeemer. Jesus is a redeemer. And he can not just redeem our character, but he can redeem our relationships and redeem them to the uttermost. He can make something that started as a problem become a solution. But for that to happen, we have to work with him. And we have to allow him to rebuild the broken pieces. It's better if the pieces never got broken. But if they were broken, if they are broken, they can be mended. And you can mend it. Now, if, for example, I am in a relationship with somebody, let's not even talk marriage, business relationship, and you go, and I lie big time. You know, the kind of lie that when you are caught, you can't do anything about it. You are caught and you are caught. You lie big time. And my business partner says, I don't trust you again. But granted, I repent. And I genuinely repent and I go to the Lord and I repent and I really start working on my character and I begin to build trust. I am not going to expect that this person is going to trust me overnight. the way he trusted me the first time. He's going to trust but verify. Always trust, verify, check, cross-check, recheck, over-check. Now, I shouldn't get offended if he does that, because I have opened the door for mistrust. What I should do is pray that God will help me never to undermine trust again, so this person can grow to trust me, if not as perfectly as before, as close as possible as before. But if I get offended at that, then it means I don't even acknowledge what I have done to create the mistrust. It takes a long time to build trust. As anybody who has been broken knows, when I was a young boy, I went to swim in our so-called swimming pool, which I later got to realize it was a gutter. But, you know, we call the swimming pool, and let me just address it as a swimming pool for my own dignity and self-respect. It's not good to think that the pastor was swimming in a gutter like a Zongo boy. So, now, when I got to that swimming pool, I had an experience. I jumped up, dived because I saw people do it, and I went down, and I swallowed a lot of water. And I came up. And I don't swim again. I don't trust the water. I don't trust the water. When my children, our children were young, we took them to the swimming pool. And, you know, and daddy come, it's so easy. I said, go ahead. I don't trust the water. I don't trust the water. I don't trust it. You may tell me everything. You may convince me, show me video, tell me to psychoanalyze and deliver myself. I don't trust the water. I don't trust it. But my children trust the water. My wife trusts the water. I don't trust the water. Clean swimming pools. Clean, clean. Clean, clear water. Lifeguards, everybody. I don't trust it. Now, maybe if I'm desperate enough, I may overcome the mistrust. But that water did something very bad. Very, very bad to me when I was very young. I don't trust it. That's what trust is. That's what happens. You get a broken heart, and it's broken really, really, really hard. Trust becomes difficult. And that's why sometimes people can be in a relationship for a long time and not be able to make a permanent commitment, because Humpty got broken. And they can't trust. And sometimes when you can't trust and you do nothing about rebuilding trust, you can deepen your mistrust. You can deepen it. Now, in relationships, there are little things we can do to build trust. I mean, instead of just going to somebody and say, trust me, trust me, trust me, I'm telling the truth, trust me. Just tell the truth. They will trust you. Because telling people trust me will make them trust you. You have to be a rock. So, for married couples, we have to invest in trust. If, for example, you are a man and you're watching television, which happens to all of us, watching a nice program, maybe a documentary, something nice, And you know, you write in there, and it's getting to the sweet part. And your wife calls you or comes to sit by you, and you know she needs a little attention. You know it. But you like the lion that is going to catch the antelope more than this woman. At this point in time, your priority is lion catching the antelope. Because at that time, the woman is thinking, and I'm saying woman because I'm a man. I'm not married to a man, I'm married to a woman. So I use man-woman, you know, example all the time. I'm sure if a woman was preaching, she would use husband. It doesn't mean husbands also don't need attention. I'm just saying I'm a man, and so I'm using a woman as an example. Now, at that time, that woman is calculating in her head. Whom does she love more? The lion? Or me? Because you've seen it. I mean, when you're a man, a husband, you can always tell when your wife just wants to chat, but you don't want to chat because you must finish this documentary. Now, if I master the courage, which once in a while I do, master the courage and put off the TV, shut it down, and turn to her and say, how are you doing? At that time, I have invested in trust. I've invested in trust. Now, the next time I tell her, I love you, it will not be my words. It will be that I turned off the TV and I sat by her. Now, if I didn't turn on the TV and I kept watching, I said, oh, don't worry, I'll finish just now. Don't worry, I'll finish. Oh, don't worry, this is very interesting. I think you'll like it. And then, you know, everything, the lion catches the antelope, and I feel, wow, that's a great thing. Wow, these lions are powerful. All right, now, antelope has been caught. Then later, I say, honey, you know, I really love you. That's why some of you men are wondering, when I tell my wife I love her, she doesn't believe me. Why would she believe you? Why would she believe you? You believe in black stars more than her. Why would she believe you? So, you may not have a big opportunity to build on the trust. There are little opportunities that God will bring your way. An opportunity to do something very small. And it may be so small you may not even think it's big. But that small act can be a huge deposit of trust, which will help build your relationship. It's almost like, you know, your friend. Maybe your friend is not in town, and you know your friend has a child in the secondary school, and one Saturday is visitation time, and you know your friend is not there. They haven't told you to do anything, but you go take food to your child in the secondary school. You've invested in trust. And next time, if you say, that's my friend, in his heart he would know that's true, because you invested that little act of going to the secondary school to give some food to his child. So there will be little moments in our lives, whether in business relationships, in office relationships, in professional relationships, where you invest. Things that God helps us with is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and makes us sensitive to the things we must be sensitive about. And if we really respond, we can help build the trust in our relationships. Because one of these days, you're going to cash on the trust. I firmly believe that if we build trust at all levels, interpersonal relationships, we can solve almost all the financial problems we have. I've said it several times, poverty is not a problem. Mistrust is the problem. Because if I trust you, I don't need money to transact with you. You know, many years ago, people's words were all that was needed for a business transaction. And even now, there are people who pick up a phone and call a bank, and without issuing a check, without any documentation, they can give them some big money, 5 million, 10 million, just a phone call, because of trust. You will go with your collateral, your mother's house, your grandmother's house, your family land, and guarantees from everybody, and you don't get a loan. Nobody trusts you. We have the solution to every problem in this church, Every problem, the solution is sitting down here. We can totally eradicate poverty around us. Only on one basis, trust. But it's difficult to build because Ghana is generally a low trust society. We don't trust people. There's tribal mistrust, ethnic mistrust. There's general mistrust because for some reason, lying sometimes comes quite easy to some people. Stealing, taking advantage of. Instead of investing in trust, we are always cashing what we haven't invested. Now, if you meet somebody for the first time and you ask him for a favor and you haven't invested in that relationship, that person is not going to trust you again. You know, it happens to all of us. Somebody you haven't met for 25 years shows up after 25 years. Haven't seen him. He's never said hello to you before. And the first day after 25 years that you meet, he's asking for a favor. Now, why would I do that? 25 years, where have you been? What have you invested? But 25 years, you want favor. Sometimes you meet a classmate. After 25, 30 years, he's coming to visit you. You expect that after 20, even if you have a need, at least the first three visits, make an investment. Just, oh, we haven't met for so long. I just wanted to see you and see how you are. How is it everything? Oh, we are, you know, and so we laugh, one, two. Come again next time, invest. And then I will begin to think, well, I think this guy is a genuine guy. And then a fourth visit. He said, anyway, I have a little problem. Invest in it. All right. Don't make demands on people when you haven't invested emotionally into them. Don't ask for favors from people when you haven't made any investment into them. So, what do we do when trust is broken? Maybe you are here today and the trust is broken. First, you have to come clean. Come clean. There is nothing more annoying than somebody who's done something wrong, everybody knows is wrong, and is still denying. Because denial only leads to more mistrust. So the truth has to come out, along with the responsibility or the commitment to take responsibility for your actions. So, the thing has happened. Don't try to polish it. Come clean. But in coming clean, you have to also be mindful that at this time you are dealing with a person who has been wounded. And the measure in which you communicate your coming clean is very important, because you may end up wounding the person the more. But be as honest as possible, as clean as possible, and as open as possible. And don't blame anybody. Take personal responsibility. Because that, it's almost like when you have a wound, you have to clean the wound. Clean the wound. In our day, it was with iodine. You clean the wound. Do they still use iodine for sores, for wounds? When you went to play football in the neighborhood, you come with scratches, and I don't know why it always happens. You're going to bust your toe because we didn't have boots. Thank God for the children of today. They have sneakers. We play football with our bare foot. And you're going to bust your big toe. I've torn that thing about a million times, you know. Poop! It's open. And then when you come on the field, you are limping. But when you get home, you're trying to walk straight. You know, sometimes children think parents don't think. Parents, they think. They can get you, so your mother is going to look and say, "What's happening?" "Oh, nothing." "Why are you walking like that?" "Oh, I fell down a small when I was playing." "Come, let me see. Then the culprit is seen. Busted toe. Iodine. Here I come. And you're going to scream and scream and scream. But the reason they clean the wound is because they don't want the wound to fester. If you don't want to fester the relationship, come clean. Come clean. Bring the iodine out. Bring the rubbing alcohol. Clean it up. It's going to hurt you. It's going to wound you. But it's going to prepare the way for the healing of the relationship. Come clean about it. Don't try to hide. Come clean. It won't solve everything, but it will help in the healing. Being defensive, righteous, or casual about the problem never works. Sometimes, you know, people go into reverse anger. What they have done comes out, and they burst out angry. You have sinned. You have gone to do that nasty thing, and we're talking about it, and you are angry. You can't be angry. Neither can you be casual about it. You can't treat it as if it's nothing. It's serious. If somebody has been sending you texts at 3 a.m., it's serious. And you can't say that Airtel delayed the text. It was sent in the afternoon, and Airtel delayed it. It's 3 a.m. Now, what is that man doing at 3 a.m. at this time to send you, a married woman, a text that said, "I miss you"? And he said, "Well, but he's saying it in a brotherly way." 3 a.m. I miss you is not brotherly. It is a very dangerous I miss you at 3 a.m. That man is dreaming bad dreams wherever he is, and he's transferring it. If you are caught, come clean. Don't just say, this man, I don't even know him. I don't know him. You know him. You know him. Yes, come clean. It won't kill you. The iodine will hurt you, but it will help you to be healed. It's important to talk about what made you do it. Not with the intention to make an excuse, but sometimes it's always important for, in talking about what got you into a place, it helps you to also understand the processes that gets you into a mess. The more you talk about it, the more you do a pathology of your weaknesses, because you should be able to lay yourself out there and do a proper study. And know that when you are in this mood, when you think this way, when that happens, when this happens, it makes you prone to do that. It's always important to do that. Now, since you are in a partnership, when you make your partner aware of the processes that leads you into trouble, that partner also becomes a help in your healing. So when the trouble is coming, they can give you early warning signals. For example, if you're a man and you know that certain states or certain times in your life, when you feel angry, you feel depressed, you're going to get drunk. And your partner knows that, your wife knows that. It helps her when she sees you getting into that mood to try to cheer you up and to help to manage your mood so you don't get to the point where you have to go and get drunk. You have to open up and talk about the processes. And if it's adultery, you have to open up to know what leads you to that. So when the signals are showing, help can be offered. Even if your wife cannot do it or your husband cannot do it, both of you can seek for better help. In a marriage, it's always important that when we are trying to rebuild trust, that we make our lives an open book. That means your cell phone should be there. And when you have a call, you don't run. You know, when you have a marriage where somebody has a call or a text and they are running, let's face it, why are you running? Is it that the world is going to end if you don't pick that call? I mean, Jesus is calling you right now, that a rapture is going to happen in the next 2 minutes. No. Why is it that when you receive a text, you have to run? And pick your phone and quickly hide it. You are hiding something. You are hiding something. If you have a conversation, if you're a man, you're having a conversation with another woman that you think you would not feel comfortable if your wife was there, don't have it. Don't have it. The same way if you're a woman. This conversation that is happening, if my husband was sitting by me, will I encourage it? Then don't have it. I think it would be good for couples to exchange phones. Don't you think so? Exchange phones. For 24 hours. You pick my calls, I pick your calls. especially those of you who are courting, who are not yet married, exchange phones. The young man opened his mouth. That's what he did. He did. I think it's a good, it should be a good program. Phone exchange day. That's a girl you want to marry? Get my phone. That's a man? I pick your phone. And let's live the day. After the end of the day, we'll compare notes. The calls that came through and the texts that came through. Trust. I believe that when trust has been broken, these steps are very important. Much as all of us want our privacy, I think when trust is broken, we have to sacrifice personal privacy for trust, to build trust. And it's important if you're a married couple and trust has been broken that you renew your vows again. That you take time to talk about your relationship again and ask God to rebuild it for you. The grace of the gospel and of Christ, God's grace, is abundant. And where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But grace must not be toyed with. We avail ourselves the grace of God so he can build that which has been broken. He can restore what has been broken. He can make humpty come together and learn not to sit on the wall again. And if we go to him, he'll repair us. Sometimes in a relationship, things can go wrong, very wrong. It doesn't mean it will go permanently wrong. It means that there is a sign. God is telling you, this is it. You need to work in this area because, especially if you want a marriage relationship, it's a long journey. 50 years, 60 years for some people. It's a long journey. You're going to be stuck with one person for a very long time. So it's better that you repair the problems when they show up very early so that the long range would be an enjoyable relationship. I just trust God that he will help all of us to build trust in our relationships. At whatever level we are, whether it's courtship, or we're married, or we're business partners, or we're friends, that we will make effort to invest in building trust with truth, with reliability, and with strength. God bless you. Well, we're going to take our offering, and I trust you that you will give as honestly and faithfully to God. God bless you. The band will minister and we take our offering.